In each of the synoptic gospels, there is a story at the center. In each account, the story takes place on a mountaintop, where the identity of Jesus is firmly revealed to the disciples. In each case, following this moment, Jesus and his disciples begin their journey to Jerusalem. Hear how Matthew tells us this story. 6 days later, Jesus went up to the top of a high mountain with Peter, James, and John. There, something spectacular happened. Jesus' face began to glow and gleam and shine like sunlight mirroring off a snowfall. He was, in a word, transfigured. Suddenly, there at the top of the mountain where Moses and Elijah, those icons of the faith, beloved of God, and they talked to Jesus. Peter said, "Lord, how amazing that we are here to see these heroes of our faith, these men through whom God spoke. Should I quickly build some shelter? 3 small tabernacles for you, for Moses, and for Elijah?" As Peter spoke, a bright cloud enveloped all of them, saying, "This is my beloved Son. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." This voice from heaven terrified the 3 disciples, and they fell prostrate on the ground. But Jesus, who was by this time used to his disciples being plagued by fear, touched them. Jesus said, "Get up. Don't be afraid." And when the disciples got up, they saw that they were alone with their Lord. The 4 men hiked back down the mountain, and Jesus told his disciples to stay silent, not to tell anyone what happened there, not until the Son of Man had been raised from the dead.
Friends, will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of each and every one of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. One of the great joys that has been unfolding in this church over the last year and a half has been the development of some small group ministries. These are occasions for small groups of people, usually 8 to 10, to come together, to share some food, to share some conversation, to look at issues of our faith. The joy of small groups is that as much as we try to focus on something to learn, it is just as important to simply love each other, to build relationship, to grow more closely knit into the body of Christ. This last week, I had the joy of being part of 2 of those small groups. We gathered for some food, shared some stories from our childhood, and got to know each other a little bit better. And then we turned our attention to Father Gregory Boyle and his amazing ministry to the young men and women striving to return to themselves and get away from the gangs of Los Angeles to which they had once belonged. On Wednesday evening, after enjoying a simple meal of chili and salad, we discussed the various ways that Father Boyle, or G-Dog, as he's affectionately called, transformed the hearts and the lives of those young people. As we talked, though, something happened to each of our hearts, too. As we shared how he softened those hearts from the hard things and hard experiences that those young men and women had already been through, more than one person in our group got emotional. Our hearts softened. They melted, and we tried to talk about what exactly was it that caused our hearts to soften and to become tender. Like all great things, we couldn't quite pin down any single reason. And yet all of us knew that it had to do with the idea of possibility unfolding, something about dignity and grace being restored, about right relationship being established, about life renewed or even reborn. When asked how and why he does what he does in Los Angeles, all G-Dog would say is that it's simply because Jesus goes to stand with people in the low places. And so he figures that's a great place for him to stand right alongside. Here on this Sunday, we are not in a low place. We are in a high place. We are on top of a mountain, and who stands with Jesus is nothing short of Moses and Elijah. Moses, representative of the law. Elijah, bearer of the prophets. And when we think about law and prophet, sometimes our hearts don't go where they originally intended to go. Because in fact, you see, the law and the prophets are all about the very same things that made our Wednesday night group choke up with tears. You see, Moses and Elijah, law and prophet, they are intertwined with ideas of dignity and grace. Both are dedicated to right relationship, to revealing God's way of living in harmony and goodness, just like creation intended. On that mountaintop that Moses went to, emblazoned on those first two stone tablets, was the start of what would become known simply as the law, the Ten Commandments. And at their heart is nothing short of God's desire to bless all people and to provide a way of living that we might bless each other too. Rules, blessings. 10 of them, the Ten Commandments, the foundational principles of our faith walk. From those 10, it would eventually expand to 613 items of the law. That's a lot of law to keep track of. But all of that came from a good spot, too. You see, as human beings contemplated those principles and tried to extend them to every aspect of our lives, they did so out of a desire to live fully into God's blessings. Some of those laws, they expanded in the most beautiful ways, bringing us to deeper and more true potential. Take the commandment not to commit adultery. From that law would emerge another law that says that, oh, spouses shouldn't just refrain from cheating on one another, whether in heart or in deed, but instead, they should honor each other with a gift of intimacy each and every Sabbath day, a commandment to engage in intimacy, to remember the connection between the two. Or thinking about the commandment not to covet, not to want what other people have, not to try to control other people, a deeper conviction came out of that, paired with the Exodus story called the Jubilee Year, where every 7 years, debt was forgiven. Every 7 years, servitude was granted freedom. Every 7 years, we started over to make sure that we hadn't gotten stuck in a rut. Or perhaps the commandment to honor mother and father, another law would emerge, that it's not just our own parents we should honor, but every single elder among us, honor and respect and love and cherish. Human imagination strive to live into a divine calling, love bursting forth. And yet, there is another side to those 613 commandments and to the stories of both the Old and New Testament. And that is the worry of the hardening rather than the softening of the human heart. The stories of the people under Moses and Joshua and all those judges and kings too reveal the same thing that Father Greg Boyle ran headfirst into, that people break rules because sometimes people have become broken at the hands of each other. So eager to fix it, other rules quickly filled those gaps in order to clamp down on wayward behavior, always with the goal of responding to real issues of living and the desire to root out anything that gets in the way of full life and complete goodness. Some of them seemingly innocuous, like this one. If you go into your neighbor's vineyard, you may eat your fill of grapes, as many as you wish, but you shall not put any in a container. Right? Makes sense. Make yourself at home, just don't take the home with you. Some beg deeper thinking. The priest who is exalted above his fellows, on whose head the anointing oil has been poured, and who has been consecrated to wear the vestments, shall not dishevel his hair nor tear his vestments. And then some of them, far more serious and troubling, especially across the broader expanse of time. A woman shall not wear a man's apparel, nor shall a man put on a woman's garment, for whoever does such a thing is abhorrent to the Lord your God. A law very much to wrestle with, a law very much to contend with, and yet undertaken to respond to a real issue in a real moment. That is precisely because of laws like that one why there is an and up there on the mountaintop, law and prophet. Because the prophets, you see, are that divine nudge, that divine correction to get us back on our way. And the prophets, as harsh as they could be, focused a great deal on this thing called the heart. Maybe because, after all, it was God speaking through them. Ezekiel proclaimed this on behalf of God. When thinking about all of those laws, all of those rules, here's what Ezekiel said. I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit within you. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you instead a tender, responsive one. Jeremiah, the one who could get crankier than virtually anyone else, proclaimed the heart to be the most deceitful thing. He warned that God would one day examine our hearts. And then God spoke through Jeremiah and said this: I will put a new heart in you that you might know me. I will soften your heart that you might know me. And then, perhaps most beautiful of all, I will take those stone tablets, God said, and I will break them, because I'm going to write the covenant, all those commands, right upon your heart. You see, law and prophets, they are dance partners, things human and divine, both necessary, neither obsolete. And don't take my word for it, because standing right there between Moses and Elijah was the one who would bridge the two, the heart of it all, Jesus himself. Remember that it was on another high place in the midst of the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus said, friends, I have not come to abolish the law. I have not come to displace the prophets. Instead, I come to fulfill it all. How? Jesus would preach the same sermon over and over and over again. True love, Jesus said. And here on the mountaintop, God says to us, listen to that message. It is all about love. Here on the mountaintop, we come face to face with the law and the prophets, not because they are about to fade away, but instead because God gives them heart. Jesus is going to come down from that mountain. He's going to bring the disciples with them, and together he's going to invite those disciples to stand in low places. The miracle of Jesus, that bright glow on the mountaintop, is that he fully embodied, I believe, what it means to both love God and love neighbor in all ways and at all times. That, I believe, was part of his perfection. That is his radiance. And that would be his message upon his resurrection, too, standing once again in those low places with people who need him there, just like Father Gregory Boyle does, just like you and me are called to do. If you ask the Apostle Paul, someone else who has the highest standards for our living, what we are called to do, he says this in Romans 13:8. Love fulfills all the law. Love. Soft hearts, tender mercy, no matter where it takes us, until we too glow with radiance, until we too find our home in eternal life. Friends, this is a mountaintop kind of worship service. I hope you leave here glowing with new life. But I hope you hold on to that glow, that when you go out into the world, you stand with Jesus in the low places, and just like Gregory Boyle, you simply be there. And you do miracles just like he did. Not because he is some perfect saint, but instead he's standing in the right place with the right person, right between the law and the prophets. Love. Amen.